7 most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. The very first one we studied was abiding in God and allowing His Word to abide in us. We studied that extensively. I'm not going to do any reviewing tonight. If you are just joining us or you haven't really been following, all of these lessons are there on our different platforms and you can easily access them. So I wouldn't be doing any elaborate reviewing tonight on the previous point. The second PowerPoint we studied was committing to the will of God in prayer. So the first one, we abide in God and we allow His Word to abide in us. The Lord said, whatsoever we ask for, it would be given unto us in prayer. Committing to the will of God so that we don't pray amiss. And when we commit to the will of God and we pray according to the will of God, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, we have confidence that the Lord hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we receive of Him the petitions that we ask. The third one, very important, that we started studying, and I want us to move ahead aggressively on that. Tonight I have a lot of ground to cover, is develop and use the faith of God in you. Actively engage your faith in God in the place of prayer. Develop and use the faith of God in you. Actively engage your faith in God in the place of prayer. Faith is so crucial. And last week, we started reading some very helpful foundational scriptures on faith. I hope you don't get bored with the reading of these scriptures. I hope you don't get tired of reading them again and again and hearing them again and again. The Bible does say faith comes by hearing. Even things that we believe we know, things we thought we knew, which way, yeah, we definitely knew. A lot of times when we hear them again, when we read them again, when we meditate them afresh, they come up with a new revelation. Not like the revelation is different, but it sparks new faith within us. So I want us to go through these foundational scriptures, and I'm going to try to move quickly through them. Like I said earlier, at the beginning of our service tonight, there are some very pertinent instructions that I would like us to get into tonight in the area of engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Some very cogent, direct instructions. So I want us to get through the scriptures first. Let's have that basis. Let's have that foundational platform. And then I'm going to start to have us look at these direct instructions. I hope you have a pen. I hope you have your notebook. I hope your Bible is ready. Whatever, if you're not writing, you're one of the high-tech people. I hope your devices are ready. And this is going to be very, very important. This is not an area of prayer. Actually, there's no area of prayer that we should take for granted. But this is one of those bedrock areas of prayer that I just believe if we get this, we become so well positioned to obtain, to receive the things that the Lord has for us. All right, let's get into it. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Let's start from there, like we did last week. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you will not only do this which is done unto this fig tree, but also if you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Verse 22, and all things whatsoever, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I just love the use of the word shall through these scriptures. That's, it's definite, it's an assured thing. If you will do it, you will reap the benefit of it. Now the Lord said, I say unto you, if you have faith and you doubt not. And last week we learned a lot about that. Have faith and doubt not. There are two legs on which our prayer of faith really stand. You have faith, you doubt not. Some people assume sometimes, because I have faith, I already am not doubting. But that is not true. You can have faith and you can struggle with doubt. Doubt is always there. It's like something that's always around. The important thing, the key, is we don't give it access. Because if we give doubt access, then it limits our faith and almost paralyzes our faith. It's like fear. You can start out in faith, in moving in a direction that you know the Lord he's with you in. You are walking on this journey. You know, remember like the story of Peter when he asked the Lord Jesus, can I come out to you on the water? He saw Jesus walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. And he says, can I come to you on the water? Jesus said, yeah, come on, come on. So he stepped out in faith. But shortly after he started walking, fear crept in, doubt crept in. And it didn't take long before he took his eyes off of Jesus, which is where he started from, and started to focus on the storm, on the wind, on the circumstances around him. Fear took over his heart. Doubt took over his, he became overwhelmed, and his faith became paralyzed. And when that happened, the Bible says he started to sink. So have faith, doubt not, are two legs on which our prayer of faith must stand. And then the Lord said, on all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Let's go on to our next scripture. It's a similar one. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. Mark, the gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. It's a very popular piece of scripture. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. If you've heard any number of messages, sermons ministered or preached from this verse of scripture, you already know the original translation, the original instruction from the Lord was have the God kind of faith, or have faith like God. Have the God kind of faith, or have faith like God. So that's what the Lord said to them. Have the God kind of faith. And he said in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. I like the shall, and I like the whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is the grandmother of the prayer of faith scriptures right here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. Let's not take too much time. I told you earlier, I want to be able to move ahead. But pay attention. The Lord said, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is a lot of what we're going to see. How it plays out in the place of prayer is a lot of what we're going to see as we move along in our lessons, as we move along in our studies. Have the God kind of faith. And then he said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. That obviously is a component of the God kind of faith. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So what you desire, the things that you desire, at the time that you pray, make sure you are already in faith. Don't pray and then go try to be in faith. Don't pray first and then go and try to stir up faith, which a lot of believers will do that. No, prepare. Prepare. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. If I had an appointment with a very important government personality, some government official, or let's get it as close as we can. Let's say I was given an appointment to meet with the president of the United States, and you know, maybe I had requested that audience, that meeting, and there are certain things. Maybe there's a cause that I represent, a cause, a particular purpose, a particular cause. CAUSE, that I represent. Maybe it's an organization that is standing for something, and we need the president to help us. And finally, I got this appointment set up. You know what? There is no way on earth I would walk into that appointment without being prepared. There is just no way. There is just absolutely no way. I mean, whatever organization you work in, if you got an opportunity to have a meeting with maybe the highest person in that organization, no matter how close you are to that highest person, number one, this is such an uncommon opportunity. There's no way you are not going to go in there prepared. Now, the Lord isn't our Father. He's not the president. He's not a CEO. He's not any of this stuff. He's our Father. But you know what? Even then, He wants us prepared when we bring our requests before Him. Remember in Isaiah, He said, come, bring forth your strong reasons, He said. I mean, He said, come, let's reason together. I mean, you have to have been prepared. No lawyer, no attorney goes before a judge without preparing. Sometimes they prepare all night to make sure they have everything they need. They have all their facts. They have all their references. They have all this, all that. They prepare. It's the same way in prayer. You prepare first before you pray. I mean, there are some prayers, obviously, where you have to pray right on the spur of the moment. That's awesome. God, yeah, the Lord attends to that. But remember, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about an emergency. We're talking about a need, needs we have in our lives, our requests that we bring before the Lord, these things that are so crucial in our lives, so important, that we desire that the Lord will help us and give us a breakthrough with. So we prepare. We prepare, we get, as we've talked about that, a lot of that. All right. Have the God kind of faith. And then he said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. So at the time that you are praying, make sure you are already in faith. Make sure you have prepared. Make sure you have gathered your scriptures. Make sure the word of God is abiding in you. Make sure you have submitted to the will of God. You've checked out the will of God. Make sure you stayed before the Lord in meditation, even just to get clarity in your spirit being. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, give you some light and direction. Be prepared. Then gather scriptures like a farmer will gather seeds, his good seeds, his best seeds to sow so that he can reap a great harvest. So you gather your best seed. You have these scriptures. You've meditated them. You are good. You are ready. You know these scriptures have already been quickened in your heart. Aha! Then you at that time when you pray, many times as believers, we do miss that. We pray first and then we believe. We pray first and then we try to believe. No, you believe. You come to the place of prayer already believing. If you are not already believing, when you come to the place of prayer, pause. Pause and go do some preparatory work Go do some homework and prepare. Amen. Let's keep on moving here because of time. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Keep that in your spirit. Prepare. So that when you are praying, you are already in faith. You are believing. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They that come to God, when we come to God in prayer, we must believe he is. I know this was the scripture where I, you know, last week we kind of just froze in space in there on this scripture. I just kept going on about it because of the importance of this scripture. They that come to God must believe that he is. God is not a worse God. He's not a past God. He's not a past tense God. He is. Must believe that he is, and he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not gonna allow myself to freeze here again. Though I'm very tempted to, but I'm gonna have us keep on going here. You must believe that he is. God is, and he is a rewarder. That's when you come into prayer. When you come to the place of prayer, you must already believe God is, and God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. God is not, he is not an absentee God. He is not there. He is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you come into the place of prayer, you already have that confidence in your heart. God is, and he is a rewarder of those who come to seek him like me. So the Lord is going to hear me. He's going to hear my prayer. He's going to attend to the things that I present to him today. Let's move on. Mark chapter 10. We get to a couple of these scriptures that are so familiar. They are bedrock scriptures, but we often rattle them off, and that's great. But I want you again to embed those scriptures inside of your spirit today while we are talking about actively engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. For this particular scripture, I'm going to refer to a couple of contemporary translations. I'm going to look at the, so if you have one, if you have those literal translations, this is a good place to look at those with me. I'm going to look at the contemporary English version, the CEV. I'm also going to look at the New Living Translation. I really like the way both of those versions of the Bible put this particular scripture. But first, let's read it in the King James. In the King James, it says, Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. See, they were talking about something that seemed impossible, and it was impossible from their perspective. And the Lord was saying to them, yes, you are right. With men, this is impossible, but not with God. Let me ask you, do you know some impossible things? Have you dealt, or are you dealing with some impossible things? Are the needs and the requests that you seek to bring before the Lord, do they seem like impossible things? Great. Great. We are in good company. The Lord said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. I want you to listen to the contemporary English version and how he puts it. Jesus looked at them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. Hallelujah. There are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. Let that sink for a moment in your heart. Let that sink for a moment in your spirit. There are some things that people cannot do. I talked earlier about having an audience with the President of the United States. Do you know, as powerful as the President of the United States is, as powerful as a CEO can be, as powerful as leaders of organizations and things like that can be, do you know there's still some things they cannot do? There's a lot of things they cannot do. Even though in their heart they may wish they could do those things. The Bible says, it says there in the Contemporary English Version, Mark chapter 10 verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. Oh, I love that. I love it. Now, listen to the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Amen. Woo! Amen. Let's look at a couple more. Luke chapter 1, Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Well, this is another very, very, very well-known one. I'm going to read this book from the King James and from the Amplified Version. Listen, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The angel who brought a message, a special message to Mary, Virgin Mary, is speaking here, declaring this because of Mary's wonder and Mary's questioning. And you call it doubt, or she was wondering, how is... But listen to what the angel says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Just like the scriptures we read earlier in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But I want you to listen to what it says in the Amplified. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So when we have these words from God, when we've gathered our scriptures and we've prepared and we take this word and we bring them to the Lord, we've developed faith. The Bible is telling us to believe that no word from God will lack the power of fulfillment, because with God, nothing is impossible. Let's look at one more. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. This is also, a very powerful one. Story of that man who brought his son before the Lord, before the disciples. The disciples couldn't really help him. But finally, when Jesus came down from the mountain, he got an audience with the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord asked him if he believed, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. But listen to what the Lord said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Let's just read this so I can move on. We can move on and save some time. Let's just read this from the King James version of the Bible. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now listen to this now. We've come from a place and we've gone through scriptures, different parts of the Word of God where we've been hearing and we've been seeing, we've been reading, we've been learning that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. Well, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ takes it a little further than that. He takes it beyond where we acknowledge and accept and believe and agree that with God, all things are possible. He takes it beyond that to the realm where he says, actually, it's not only with God that all things are possible, but also to them that believe. To them that believe. So faith equalizes us. Faith puts us on a pedestal where we can access what is only available to God. Faith puts us on a platform where we can access things that are ordinarily only available or accessible by God. He says, to them that believe, all things, if you believe. So say this with me right now. I believe. Therefore, because I believe, all things are possible to me. I want you to personalize this. Say it again. I believe. And because I believe, all things are possible to me. See, I didn't say that. If I just rattled off these scriptures off the top of my head and just quoted them, you have every reason to question what I say. You have every reason to doubt what I say. But that's not what we did tonight. What we did tonight, we went to the authority. We went to the highest authority, which is the Word of God itself. And what we did was we read what the Lord himself said. And all of these things were the things the Lord said. We didn't say, I didn't say that. I no matter how far-fetched it sounds, no matter how out of the realm of reality, no matter how strange and difficult to imagine this could be for us as humans, if the Lord says it, we can accept it. We can agree with it. We can believe it. So say that one more time before we move on here. Say this. I believe. Therefore, all things are possible to me. Say just one more time for emphasis. I believe. Therefore, all things are possible to me. Amen. Amen. I want us to read. Thank you, Father. I want us to read now. We've looked at a few foundational scriptures. I want us to take it a little bit further. Let's move forward a little bit. I want us to go and read about this Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Now, this story is familiar to you if you started with us, if you've been with us on this series of studies, this series of lessons, if on this general prayers and things, when we started this general series several weeks ago, this is one of the scriptures we started. But I want to say something about it, and I want to show you something in this scripture before we move on. And we're getting very close to where we can begin to get around these direct instructions that I talked about earlier on in the service tonight. I did say earlier on in the service tonight that I wanted us to be able to get around some very cogent, very important direct instructions that are a result of these scriptures that we're reading. This is very powerful. I hope you have something to write with. But before we get there, let's read together Matthew chapter 15, and let's read it from verse 21. The story of this woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose daughter was was in bondage, whose daughter was in bondage, and this woman was so desperate, she was so so under pressure to have something happen. She needed a change for her daughter. Maybe it's not your daughter. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's not even somebody else. Maybe it's you. And you're just desperate for the Lord to intervene in a situation that concerns you. This scripture is for you. We're getting ourselves together and talking about how to actively engage our faith in the place of prayer. To use, to develop and to use our faith in God when we pray. Now listen to this. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 21. Then Jesus went thence, and he departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Verse 23. But the Lord Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, because this woman was crying after them. In addition to making the request, crying out to the Lord the first time, when the Lord didn't respond to her, she just wouldn't back off. She just wouldn't quit. She just stayed persistent and kept following them until it became an irritation for the disciples. The disciples said unto the Lord, Hey, Lord, drive this woman away. Drive her away, because she won't stop crying after us. But the Lord answered, finally turned to her now, because she wouldn't quit crying to the Lord. Oh, I love it. So notice now, there's a reason why she wouldn't quit. There's a reason why she wouldn't quit. The Lord finally responded to her and said to her, listen, I am not sent. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The woman still wouldn't quit. There's a reason she wouldn't quit. See, she's not one of those people that come to pray and then try to get faith. No, she already had faith when she came before the Lord. The evidence of her faith is her refusal to quit. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Meaning, you don't qualify for what you are asking for from me. But she wouldn't quit. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She wouldn't get offended. She wouldn't accept rejection. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She came and worshipped him. And she said, Lord, Lord, help me. And the Lord answered in verse 26. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Listen to that. The Lord's using a figure of speech. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So what you are asking me for is something that's only for children. I can't take it and give it to dogs. It's a figure of speech. The Lord isn't calling her a dog by any chance. But I want you to see, you already know this, because this is a very familiar piece of scripture to us, passage of scripture to us. Verse 27, she said, That's true, Lord. She agreed with him. She said, That's true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You are right, Lord. That's true. What you said is true. But also, actually, In addition to what you said, that you can't give the children's bread to dogs, but actually, dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Oh, hallelujah. Then the Lord answered and said unto her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Great is your faith. Now, I want you to see something here. This woman is saying to the Lord, I just want some bread. This is what she's saying to the Lord. I just want some bread. Obviously, the bread was representative of the healing and deliverance she wanted for her daughter. Lord, I just want some bread. I really don't care if I am among the children or if I am one of the dogs. I don't care. I really don't care about all that. I just want bread. I just want bread for my daughter. I want healing. I want deliverance. I want a change of status. I want a supernatural miracle. I want a turnaround. I want a breakthrough for my daughter. I really don't care if I'm among the children or if I'm one of the dogs. That does not matter to me. I just want bread. And I'm completely persuaded. This is what she's saying. I am completely persuaded, Lord, that you can give me the bread that I desire for my daughter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now you want to know what faith is? That is faith. That is faith. I really don't care if I'm one of the children. I really don't care if I'm not one of the children. I really don't care if I'm one of the dogs. That does not matter to me. All I know, Lord, I want bread. I want healing and deliverance for my daughter. See, this is prayer now. This is prayer, but this is faith in prayer. And the Lord listened to this woman and heard this woman. Lord, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm one of the children, whether I'm one of the dogs. I just want bread for my daughter. And I am persuaded. This is the second part of it. So I don't care whether I'm one of them, whether I'm one of the special ones, when I'm one of, no, that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't count to me right now. But secondly, I am persuaded that this bread that I need, that I want, that I desire, you are able to give it to me. Lord, this is not, there is no question mark where I am concerned. There's no question mark where what I believe for is concerned. There's no question mark where what I'm asking you for is concerned. There's no question mark where my qualification is concerned. We've settled all of that. Lord, I don't care if I'm one of the children. I don't care if I'm one of the dogs. What I do know, Lord, is I want bread. And this bread that I want, I am persuaded you have the ability to give it to me. So, Lord, the ball is in your court. Give me this bread. Hallelujah. 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 I hope your spirit is catching, is latching onto something here. This is faith. This is faith. It's actually faith like Abraham had. You might remember in Romans chapter 4. This is faith like Abraham had. Let's read that real quick. Let's read that real quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where's our time gone tonight? Romans chapter 4 is very much like what happened with Abraham in verse 18. Romans chapter 4 verse 18. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith and being fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Look at that. He hoped against hope. He did not focus on his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. All those didn't count to Abraham. It's like that Canaanite woman. Whether you call me one of the children, whether you call me one of the dogs, it doesn't matter. All I know is I want bread. Abraham, whether my body is dead, whether Sarah's womb is dead, that doesn't matter. All I know is I want the fruit of the womb. I want that promised seed, that promised child that you made me. You said you have a promised child for me. None of these other things. And he said he was persuaded that what the Lord promised, he was, it has faith now. That's exactly what we have been studying so far tonight. He came before the Lord with faith, believing. Amen. Let's move on. We still have some time here. Praise God. I'm not going to give up on this time tonight. It is important that we are determined to win the battle of the mind by faith and patience. When we come in the place of prayer, we come to the place of prayer, it is very important that we are determined to win the battle of the mind through faith and patience. Why do we need to look at this right now? I want us to just look at this real quickly before we get and begin to talk about these important instructions here. It is very important that we are determined to win the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind, the battle of faith happens in the mind. Remember when the Lord said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, if you have faith and if you do not doubt, that's where the battle happens. It's in the mind. If you have faith and if you do not doubt, we must be determined to win the battle of the mind, because faith usually is enhanced by our determination to persevere. Like that Canaanite woman, she wouldn't quit. She wouldn't quit. When she was crying against, crying to the Lord, the Lord ignored her. She wouldn't quit. The disciples said, Lord, drive her away. She wouldn't quit. Then finally, the Lord turned to her and responded to her and said, listen, I'm not sent to eat. She said, okay. She came, worshipped, and wouldn't quit. Same thing with Abraham. We need to understand this. In the place of prayer, faith will be tested. It's not enough to come in faith in prayer. It is just as important to stay in faith in prayers. It is not enough. Let me say that one more time. It is not enough to come in faith in prayer. It is just as important to stay in faith in prayer. You come in faith, you stay in faith. We must be determined to win the battle of the mind through faith and patience. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. Listen to what it says. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You show all diligence. You be not slothful, but you are followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's one thing to come in faith. It's a totally different thing to stay in faith in the place of prayer. These two things are very important. We win that battle of the mind through faith and patience. We keep faith alive. We keep doubt away through faith and patience. Patience and perseverance is the component that undergirds our faith to see to it, it arrives at the finish line and obtains the reward. Perseverance in prayer, faith, and patience. A lot of times, why do we as believers fail in the place of prayer? Many times, it's not even that we didn't prepare. Many times, it's not even that we didn't have the word of God. Many times, it's not even that we didn't have God's promise. Many times, it's not even that we were not sure what the Lord said. It's not even that we didn't know how to present our desires to the Lord. Many times, it's because we came in faith, but we did not remain in faith. We did not persevere to the finish line. We started in faith, but we couldn't finish. So we did not obtain. Let's look at one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Let's look at that real quickly. We're almost done here tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I think I have a couple of minutes just to even throw out the very first instruction that we have here, and then we're going to come back to it. We're going to pick it up from there next time by God's grace. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Look at what it says. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence that has a great recompense of reward. Confidence is the same as faith. Cast not away your faith that has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience or perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's the key right there. If any man draw back. So you see, the just can come in faith. But a lot of times what happens is when we come in faith, then we draw back. We draw back because we somehow can't persevere till the end. Somehow it gets tough. Somehow like Peter, you know, we start out in faith. But somehow we then start looking at the water, we start looking at the wind, the turbulence. Then it becomes a shock to us that we're even doing some of the things that we're doing, and we're wondering, how is this? How am I even getting this done? And suddenly doubt gains the upper hand, fear gains the upper hand, and before you know it, you start sinking. It says if you draw back, so it's just as important to stay with it, to persevere as it is to actually come the first time in faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in him if they draw back. Thank God, though, he says in verse 39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them who believe to the saving of the soul. I love the way the Message translation puts that verse. We are not quitters, he says, but we are not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and we'll survive trusting all the way. Listen now, it is very important that we are determined to win the battle of the mind through faith and perseverance. If we don't make that commitment from the beginning, before we enter into praying, before we begin to present this request to the Lord, before we begin to express to him the our needs, our prayers, our desires, the scriptures that we have gathered, if we don't have that commitment up front, before we actually even get into praying, we're going to lose. We will not obtain the reward. That's why many believers have not received answers to their prayers. We lose out. We quit. We turn back. We draw back. And the Bible, the word of God says, his soul will not have pleasure in us. It means, you know, we're not pleasing to him. He can't walk in our situation. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have 2 minutes here. I'm going to throw out our first cogent, powerful instruction in the area of prayer and by praying in faith. I'm going to throw out that very first instruction here. When you've come in faith, let every thought and desire that you entertain affirm that you have what you asked for from the Lord. This is the A part of this instruction. Let me say it again. I want you to listen to this. When you come in faith in the place of prayer, to the place of prayer, let every thought and desire that you entertain affirm that you have what you asked for. This is the B part. I'm going to go over this next week. I'm going to start again. So write whatever you can, but I'm going to pick it up from here by God's grace. This is the B part now. Never permit or allow doubt or a mental picture of failure to stay in your mind or stop you from believing. Let's say that again. Never permit or allow doubt or a mental picture of failure to stay in your mind or stop you from believing. If doubts persist, resist them and get your mind back on the word of God. Constantly affirm that the promises of God are so, and you have your miracle and your answer in your hands. That's a mouthful. You probably didn't get most of it. I'm going to give you just the top, just the first part of it. Again, make sure you have that down. And by God's grace, we'll pick it up from here next time. Let every thought and desire that you entertain affirm that you have what you asked for from the Lord. Let's close here tonight. In talking about this most important PowerPoint of faith in the place of prayer, let every thought and desire that you entertain. Listen, you are going to have thoughts and desires that are going to come into your mind that are going to be opposing what you ask for. That's the work of doubt. That's what doubt does. Remember, Matthew 21:21. If you have faith and if you doubt not. So you have faith, and then now we have to win the battle of the mind. Let every thought and desire you entertain in your mind affirm that you have what you asked for from the Lord. So that means, put simply, the thoughts and other ideas that come into your mind that don't affirm what you ask for from the Lord in faith, what do? You bring them down. You take them down. Don't entertain them. They will come, but don't entertain them. We're going to get a little deeper into this, and I'm going to show you where these thoughts come from. We're going to see the three principal areas where our thoughts, the principal areas that strongly influence the thoughts that come from our mind, come to our minds. Because if you can address those areas, you can address the root of those thoughts. And if you can address the root of those thoughts, then you can pull down doubt. If you can pull down doubt, your faith can have the upper hand and you can persevere until you get your reward, until you get your miracle. Amen. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you so much. Let's just thank God as we close out. We thank you so much for your blessing over this service tonight. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the instructions that you've given us here. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and opening our hearts and opening our spirits to hear your word clearly, to understand and to receive. I thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your mighty presence that has been with us tonight. Now, as we dismiss, let these words continue to reverberate in our spirit. Lord, let these words continue. Let them begin to develop and to build faith in our spirit and help us, Father, to be able to obtain the reward that you have promised us. Let no one go empty-handed. Let your word be fulfilled in every life. We thank you for it, precious Savior. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.